God is so gracious. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's better than hating me. I tell you what. Thank you for saying that. It's very kind of you. God has been so good and gracious to us. It's such an honor, like I say, to minister the word of the Lord. I enjoy preaching the gospel. I've said it so many times, I got to say it again. I'm not saved enough to be miserable. I've seen some miserably saved people. I'm just amazed. They just don't know the God I know. And when you understand the God I know, then you'll understand the joy I have. You know, it's just that simple. You know, people say, do you get sad? I tried sad. I didn't like it. Tried broke. Boy, I got away from that real quick, too. Lord, that God. And I realized something, that the Word of God can work. Now, I want to say this at the very beginning of my session. I probably say it in every session. I said it last night. I was preaching last night at the church here in Dallas at Bishop Jake's last night. We had a wonderful time. Make a long story short, a man came up to me trying to give me a compliment, you know, and I didn't mean to laugh in his face when he said it, but he said, Brother Jesse, he said, I really love you. I said, thank you very much. Then he said this. He said, you're one of the greatest faith guys I've ever seen in my life. And I just laughed out loud. And I didn't mean to be rude. I said, sir, excuse me. I said, it don't take a lot of faith to believe in something that cannot fail. Now, you ought to write that down. You can preach on that if you're a preacher. It don't take a lot of faith to believe in something that cannot fail. The Word of God cannot fail. I mean, so why would you give me that compliment, man? I mean, I'm a win-win situation. There's no other choice in the matter. And the only time you lose is when you start fighting an enemy that's already defeated. And I won't talk about this session, in my first session. Never fight, the title of this message is, never fight an enemy that's already defeated. You know, the Lord nowhere tells us to fight the devil. He said resist the devil. He didn't say assist him. He never said to fight the devil. He said walk on him. So, you know, the devil's got to be pretty small to fit under your foot. So never fight an enemy that's already defeated, because you see, you're believing in something that cannot fail. Because the Word of God cannot. It cannot, because God is His Word. In the beginning was the Word was God, and Word was with God. So when you understand that, and of course the gentleman, when he gave me that compliment, it was very kind of him, because I am a faith man, and people say, how do you do what you do? Well, faith is the currency of heaven. I use that currency to get the currency that I need on the earth. Whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, it doesn't make any difference, you know, because that's where it comes from. But when he said that, and then I apologize, I'm not laughing at you, brother, because you have to understand something now. When you believe in something, it ought to work. Now, you know, I wasn't raised around a lot of people to help me disbelieve, because I was not what I call a church person. I was a heathen. So when I got saved and I started reading the Bible, to me, it was like a child, you know, eating an ice cream or licking a lollipop. Wow. Almost to the point of just simple innocence and purity. And God said, I went, wow. I would read Genesis, and the Lord said, I go, wow. I would read it when I used to fly commercial, and I'd say, and God said, and I said, listen to what God said to the guy next to me. He'd go, uh-huh. He said, I don't talk religion in public. I said, oh, you must have been raised in church. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See, people that don't talk religion in public probably been raised in church. And you might have been raised in church, but you haven't been in church. See, because church need to be in you. Now, so I wanted to kind of start with that, see. So you understand, so when like I say, it doesn't take great faith to believe in something that cannot fail. Now, it didn't make any difference to me how long it takes for things to come to pass. Because I'm going to live forever. I know I don't look like it, but I am going to live forever, Lord. It didn't make any difference. I like what Brother Hagin said years ago. He said, having done all the stand, therefore, he said, if you made up your mind to stand for a long time, you won't have to stand very long. Once you make up your mind to do what God said. So I want to talk about that today, on never struggle or fight a devil or fight an enemy that's already defeated. Luke chapter 4, I want to start reading with verse 1. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. You might need to underline that. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. He didn't say being 40 days fighting with the devil. Just being tempted of the devil. And in those days did he eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. I guess so, after 40 days, you got to get hungry. And the devil said, now you notice the devil didn't say nothing until he felt that he was at Satan, that Jesus was at his weakest point. Hungry, been tempted of the devil. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Now, that's an amazing statement, because by the time the devil saw him, for 40 days, the devil was wondering if he was the Son of God. See, I honestly believe Satan has Alzheimer's. I really believe that. God is my will. Let me say it one time. I really believe that. And if you don't say nothing, he won't remember. Don't look at y'all. You went, well, you know, diabetes followed my family. You know, he forgot that till you said it. You know, our family don't live very long. You know, he forgot that, because see, he's losing daily and you gaining daily. He's spiritually dead and you spiritually alive. So really, if you don't say nothing, he's like an old fool. He'll walk right by. You don't know what's going on. For 40 days, he says, I hope I'm tempting the right person. He don't really know. So finally, he kind of lets it out. If thou be the Son of God, look at this. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that this stone it be made to bread. Now, watch this. The devil's not a faith devil. The devil's a flesh devil. Now, for 40 days, he's trying to figure out if he is the Son of God. Now, he's talking to the person that created him. But he's old, you see. He's just a fool. So he asked Jesus to do something he can see. Because he's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. He said, hey, if you're the Son of God, turn that stone into bread. He figured, if he can do that, that's got to be the man. Now, Jesus, and I'm going to read this to me, he said, no. Well, I'll just paraphrase. He said, no. Now, he could have turned that whole mountain into a loaf of bread with a log of butter just running down the valley. But the point I'm trying to get over, he asked Jesus to do something he can see. Because, you see, he only works in the realm of the flesh. He can't work in the realm of the spirit because he's spiritually dead. He can only work in the realm of the flesh. Now, here's the difference. He's spiritually dead, and your flesh should be dead. Your spirit's alive. You crucify the flesh daily instead of Sunday. You don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, why are people fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Because they keep raising up their dead flesh. You see what I'm saying? Fighting an enemy that's already defeated. So look what he says here. And let me read the scripture. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, verse 3, commanded this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him and said, now Jesus was very strong, because his words got so strong, they turned a different color right there to red. He just really got colorful in his words here. He said, it is written, or it is logos, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So he not only tells him that you don't live off of physical substance, but God tells you what you live off of. He never leaves you in the dark. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Verse 5. The devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. So notice this. There is some glory on the earth. Even though it may not be God's glory, you got to understand this creation still has the glory of God in it, even though it's been twisted. He said, and all the glory thereof, they say, will I give thee and all the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Now, who delivered it? The first Adam. Now, he's talking to the second Adam. So, the first Adam is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all that be thine. In other words, he said, hey, you're looking for a kingdom? I got a kingdom. Listen, all you got to do is just fall down and worship me. Ain't nobody got no nothing. Just be between us. Handle it like you want. I'll be your silent partner. The devil is a silent partner to a lot of people in church. Thank you for that Holy Ghost grunt. Yeah. He said, look, you're looking for a kingdom? He knew Jesus was looking for a kingdom. He said, I got a kingdom. Here it is, man. It's powerful. I give it to you. One option. It ain't personal. It's just business. I come to make you an offer. You don't refuse. Look what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me. How many of y'all would tell the devil to get behind you? Most people go, oh, no, I'm going to watch that sucker. I ain't letting him get behind me. But you see, Jesus has got confidence in himself and in the God that he serves. He says, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, or it is Logos. You know, Jesus always goes back to the Word. Never gives him his personal opinion, just goes to the Word. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So strike one, strike two. Or ball one, ball two. He said, it ain't working, let me try something else. He brought him up to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Did you notice that the devil knows scripture? How many times, if you're a preacher, you've had some of those devils in your church quote scripture to you? For it is written. So he figured he can use Logos, or cannot. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 12. Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said. Now, the King James, I like the way it was translated, because it was translated right. Because the first two times he uses Logos. It is written. It is written. Now, Jesus has done had enough of this fool. So now he says, it is said. He takes Logos and makes it Rhema. Rhema being spoken, Logos being written. Greek terminology, you know that. He said, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Woo! Now he just told the devil who his boss was. In other words, who do you think you are even talking to me in this manner? I love that. Glory to God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, I love this statement, he departed from him for a season. For 3 months, he didn't come around. A whole season went by. The devil said, he's so beat up so bad, he said, I got to go rest myself. Because he's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. The title of this message is never struggle or never fight with an enemy that's already defeated. Now, notice what Jesus said. Jesus said it was written, then he said it was said. He never squared off at the devil. Why? He was more interested in what was going on inside of him instead of what was going on out around him. You ought to write that down. Always be more concerned what's going on inside of you instead of what's going on around you. Because you see, you in the world, but you not of it. You see, people ask me all the time, Brother Jesse don't hardly ever get depressed much. Why doesn't he get depressed? Well, I'm just not interested too much in what's going on around me. But I'm definitely interested in what's going on inside of me. Because where I'm growing is on the inside. Because if I look at my outside, I ain't growing at all unless it's, well, you know, this way. I want to grow this way. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be a tall man. I am believing God. Hallelujah. With real brown hair. I mean, you know, Lord God. And I'll still be taller than Jerry Savelle when I get to heaven. Ain't that a blessing of God? Jerry pulled one on me the other day at the West Coast Believers Convention. He finally admitted that he'd been lying all over the world that he was taller than I was. We finally stood side by side. He said, okay, he is barely taller than me. And I thought, you know, I believe Jerry's a great man of faith because I've seen him do some things that are just impossible with his faith. So I think it was the next day somebody went and get him some platform shoes. I mean, and them soles and them heels, about that big, I guess. Now, I didn't know he had them on. So I finished preaching my session, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Jerry Savelle, he come walking out, he come by, and I went, God! That ain't fair. I shouldn't have said that about Jerry. He used his faith and grew 3 inches. He said, how you doing, you little squirt? That was great, man. Then I looked down, deception! So let me say it again. I'm not interested in what's going on. And you ought to be the same way. If you should never fight an enemy that's already defeated. And the only way you do that is when you get interested in what's around you instead of being interested in what's in you.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to be saying this all this week, too. The problem with Christianity, listen to me. You watch somebody tell you, this is the truth. The problem with Christianity, you're trying to become what you already are. And, buddy, when you are doing that, that is a life of frustrating. See, you're trying to get healed when you already are. See, all you have to do is receive what's already been done. I've had people say, see, because if you don't understand what I just said, then there'll be another article wrote somewhere, when God doesn't heal. There'll be some other magazine article, what to do when God doesn't heal. See, you're trying to become what you already are. That's why you'll never be are what you are. See, you're already healed. He already took the whipping. By his stripes you were. Yeah, but I'm sick. I'm not denying you're sick. I'm saying you're already healed. All you got to do is just receive what's already been done. The reason why you're struggling to receive that is because you're trying to get it done the first time. It's already been done. So when you're praying, Lord, please heal me, please heal me, you are telling him that he hasn't healed you, that the stripes on Jesus' back is not working. Please heal me, when he says you already are. And if you already are, then you am. And if you am, then you is. And then when you is, you got it. Do you understand that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when the devil tries to attack my body, I don't say, Lord, heal me. I say, Lord, what you already done, I receive. Now, the devil's the author of confusion, but that statement confuses him to no end. He goes, what did he say? But I expect him not to understand me, because he is spiritually dead and I'm spiritually alive. So I don't fight an enemy that's already defeated. Now, because you see, if you don't finish the job, you're going to have to go back and do that. That's called Iraq. How many bushes does it take to get rid of one Iraq? We should have finished that then. Now, you got to go back and do something you already did, or should have did, or finished it. Because excuses don't make any difference anymore. See, something's got to be done. Now, and I don't think America ought to be sticking his nose in other country's business. But when you're paying people to blow themselves up to kill other people, something ain't right. Because you're destroying both futures. You see what I'm saying? So suicide leads to nothing but suicide. Kills the future that the person wanted, and kills the future, they're trying to kill the future of the person that has it. Which makes no sense at all. So watch this. If you're not worried about what's around you and you're only concerned about what's in you, then you understand this. Our spiritual activity, write this down. Our spiritual activity reaches its greatest intensity when we're so filled with the glory of divine righteousness, divine love, and divine power. Now, when you understand that your spiritual activity reaches its greatest intensity now you're getting into this level here. When you're so filled with the glory of that divine righteousness, that divine love, that divine power, then when you understand that and you focus on what's on inside of you, then you understand that we're only conscious of God, and all thought of ourselves is lost in him. Now, I know that's a long point, but I want you to get that. You see, when you understand your divine righteousness, your divine love, and your divine power, then you no longer see, you're not thinking of you, you're thinking of who's inside of you. All conscious of your existence is not there anymore. That's why Jesus said, when people say, he said, you're a good man, why you call me good? There's nobody good but God. Because you see, he then lost himself in his Father. Did you see that? All conscious of himself was gone. Then when he said, since I am that I am, then I'm going to speak like that I am. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Then he'd say, who are you? He says, I am that I am. My God, man. Why? Because he's then lost all conscious of who he is in terms of flesh. When he operated in the power of that divine love, that divine power, and that divine righteousness. But you know what? People couldn't handle it, so he had to come back. That's why he didn't call himself the Son of God. Because people couldn't handle it, so he said, I'll just call myself the Son of Man. Now, that they could understand. But he really was the Son of God who became the Son of Man. He did it both ways. He fulfilled God's law and man's law. He never sinned. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? That's why I serve Jesus, you people of other religions watching on television. Because who you serve is sin. Who I serve have it. Your guy's dead. Mine's alive. What do you think? Think about that. Mine says, thou shalt not kill. Yours says, kill every infidel you can. Wait a minute here. Let the elevator go to the top. All the other guys said, you got to beat your brains out and got to do but works, 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 works. And if you suffer, 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 and beat your brain. Jesus said, you're saved by grace. It's a gift of God. See the difference? You don't have to work for it. It's already been worked. You just have to receive it. I'll deal with that tomorrow, too, on that statement. The problem with most people, they're trying to become something they already are. And that's why so many people are frustrated. So let me say that point again. Our spiritual activity reaches its greatest intensity when we are filled with the glory of divine righteousness, divine love, and divine power, that we are only conscious of God, and all thought of ourselves is lost in Him. That's what Luke 4 is talking about. Jesus was so lost in His Father, even though He was hungry, He quoted the word of God to the devil instead of giving him his personal opinion concerning something. Isn't that amazing? You see, Satan was already defeated before he started tempting, because, you see, he was not dealing with a flesh man. He was dealing with a spirit being. And that's why the devil couldn't figure out who he was. So trying to get him to do physical things to see if he really was the person he thought he was. And when you understand that, then, you know, Satan cannot wake up a dead man. Now, I'm going to say something. I'll probably get some ugly letters, but that's okay. We have a file for ugly letters. It's called a garbage can. That's fact. See, people write Kathy all the time and say, I'm offended. We write them back. Don't be. I'm not offended. Why would you be offended at what I said? Bible said live above offense. I live above offense. You can't offend me to start with. You can try all you want. It ain't gonna never happen. I didn't say you couldn't hurt my feelings. You can hurt my feelings, but I'll never develop to the point of offense. See, because I know me. And if I get offended, then I'm gonna be like you, and I don't want to be like you. Oh, that's strong, isn't it? I want to be like God. I know. I can see you on the television now. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Let me tell you, save the trees. Don't write the ugly letter. Because you're writing it in an offense. And the Bible tells you explicitly not to be offended. So who's wrong? There's been people say stuff I don't agree with. I don't write a letter and say, I'm offended. Mm-mm. You see, ladies and gentlemen, being raised in the city of New Orleans, being raised poor, America has a problem with a line called color. South Africa has a problem with a line called color. Now, our enemies don't have a problem with color. See, they don't see a black man in America or a white man in America. They see an American. And September 9/11 proved that. They didn't say, we're going to attack the black Americans. We're going to attack the Hispanic Americans. We're going to attack the white Americans. They didn't say any of that. You see, our enemy thinks we're one. When are we going to think we won? You ought to write that down. You see, our enemy thinks we won. We want to attack America. When will we think we're won? You see my point? We got all these racial boundaries. What's wrong with us? We ought to at least be as smart as our enemy. They think we're won. Attack America. He didn't say attack your Mexicans in America. Think about that. I'll give you some sense there. See, if they think we won, why can't we be one? It's about time we become one. Yeah. If this is the greatest nation on the earth, then suck it up. Yeah. Let's become one. Yeah. Then we'll have unity. And if you noticed, after that major attack, we became one. There wasn't Democrats or Republicans or liberals. There wasn't any of that. It was everybody on the Capitol steps going, God bless America. For just a few short, I don't know, weeks, we were one. And the enemy got scared. But then we start drawing them lines again. I explain something to you that might help you. You got to understand, yes, the problem is we know everybody a different color, but we don't know our cultures. I'm a Cajun from New Orleans. You don't know my culture. I'm going to say things that you think is cussing. Oh, you'd say, oh, that's cussing, but not in my culture. That's called explanation in my culture. That's right. But see, to you, you think it's cussing because, see, you have never took the time to really know what a Cajun is. You've never really took the time to know what divine righteousness is or divine love or divine power. You just said, okay, I'll accept that. I want to be a Texan, but, you know, I hadn't walked in boots very long. You got to know how Texans think. Because Texans think different. And that's good. So what I had enough sense to do was get around some Texans, and instead of criticizing like the yellow, where's them yellow roses? I ain't seen no yellow roses. But I ain't denying them. So if I get around Texas, so I can find out, how does Texans think?
Tell you one thing, bless God.
Why they talk like that? Don't know. Them boots, I guess, are just too tight. Don't know what to be. So you have to find different cultures, and you have to understand the culture. We need to have these dialogues of culture. We know what the line, the barrier of the skin. Why? Hang on it. Why did a lot of black people vote for somebody like Clinton? Look at y'all. Christian, love God with all their heart. Don't they know, man, that they believe in abortion and they believe in this? Well, you got to understand something about most black people. Most black people don't have a problem with abortions. They have their babies. What they can, and you know, and they may have a lot of unwed mothers, like, but you see what? They ain't killing their babies. What they want to know is how I'm going to feed this baby. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, you got to understand why people think the way they think. You got to get in here and figure out, not just saying that's black, that's white, that's brown. White, you all right. Black, get back. Brown, stick around. No. You know, that's all that trash of the 50s. That don't make no sense. That's crazy. But you see, how could somebody love God would vote for such? Well, you got to understand. Black people, they have their babies. A lot of white people say, So what the black person is thinking, well, bless God, abortion ain't got a problem with me because I'm going to have that baby. What I want to know is how I feed this baby. And they're going to look at different issues. They're going to look at them different. Not because they're better or they're less. Or it's because of the culture that they've been raised in. And if you don't understand that, then you're going to be critical of things you should not be critical of. You don't understand Italians till you live with them. You can go to New York right now, and I tell you, it's called Manhattan. And you got Chinatown, you got Little Italy, you got everybody in the world. All you got to do is just cross two streets. Bam! It's another world. Same people. Why? Culture. So before you say, that isn't right, this ain't right, that ain't right, this ain't right. Hey, have you ever sat down and wondered and actually spoke, why do y'all believe this? Without being condescending? Or without trying to change them to your point of view? And begin to listen to what people are saying? Me and Bishop Jakes were talking, like, you know what we need in this country? A good fight. Yeah. Because when you get mad and you fight, you really say what you believe. It comes out. I'll tell you what, woman, I ought to knock your neck. You've always wanted to hit me, didn't you? It really comes out when you're mad. Now, let's take that information and dissect it and find out why people do what they do. Then we can change the fabric of America. Because if our enemy thinks we won, then we're going to have to become one. But we'll never become one if we're constantly looking at these color barriers and these different things, are trying to fight an enemy that's already defeated. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to tell you something about persecution. 9-11 proved the scripture when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. The minute we got persecuted, boom, everybody came together. Because, buddy, a fight you want, fight you going to get. Everybody became patriotic. Because I'm going to tell you something about black people. They love this country as much as you love it. But you got to understand, they were raised in a different culture, even though in the same country. I insulted a person one time in Hawaii, didn't mean to, didn't know. Because Hawaii, there's a lot of Japanese, a lot of Korean people, a lot of Chinese people. I can't tell the difference. But I'm a nice person. So Kathy's shopping in there, and I make a long story short, this little lady, you know, I said, hello. She said, hi, can I help you? Can I help you? What can I do for you? I said, well, whatever my wife wants, that you can help. Yes. I said, are you Japanese? Oh! Oh! I went, whoa, mama, come on. Hi-ya, hi-ya. What's the problem? She said, no, I'm Korean. And then I just got deeper. I said, well, I can't tell y'all apart. Y'all all look the same. Oh! I mean, I just messing up. I wasn't trying to be prejudiced. I'm just trying to figure out. Finally, I said, ma'am, I apologize. It's coming out wrong. And she didn't say this, but you could see it in her face. Well, what don't you just shut up? So I shut up. That's Kathy. I said, Kathy, she said, hey, you on your own, Jack. I said, I'm going to make you pay for that dress out of your money. Okay, Jesse, I'll take care of this. Glory to God. I had to lose conscious of myself. So you have to find out why people do what they do. Because you see, the issues they're looking at may be totally different from you, not because they're less than you or you better than them. It's because they're living in a different world in the same world. Yeah. You understand? That's why we got all these different types of Christians. Why do we have Baptists and Methodists and Episcopalians? You know, to me, now don't get this, this is not a racial thing. Episcopalians, that's Catholic light. That's Catholic light. Now, I've been christened and confirmed a Catholic boy. Nomine Patri, Fili, Spiritu Santo. Boy, I mean, I'm at home in the Catholic church. I'm gone. But when you go to Episcopalian, now don't write me no ugly letter. You go to Episcopalian, great people. I just call it Catholic light. There's Bud and there's Bud Light. You know, there's Catholic and there's Catholic Light. It's very close. So we ought to at least be able to get together. Now, before you criticize the Catholic Church, have you ever been to one? Have you ever sat down? How many people have you fed? Do you see my point? Before we start, just call them Whore of Babylon. I heard that, my God, when I came out the Catholic Church, they said, I had a man tell me, you come out the Catholic Church, yeah, the Whore of Babylon. I went, boy, you better not stay in Louisiana, because, sucker, you're going to die, Jack. Somebody's going to put a knife in your head. I said, what are you? He said, we're the real people. We believe in God. We don't believe in makeup. I said, y'all the ugly Whore of Babylon, but y'all are. At least I was as good looking, but yours is, bad, Jack. Don't believe in makeup. Lord Jesus, I know something wrong now. never fight an enemy. I'm going over here. I saw some ugly. I'm going to come over here for a while. Never fight an enemy that's already defeated. In other words, focus on what's in you instead of what's around you. So what I try to do in my life, before I just write somebody off, blah, blah, this and that, I want to know why they do what they do. I want to understand the process so then I can understand them. You see what I'm saying? I've been married to Kathy 32 years. I'm still trying to figure her out. Kathy just amazes me. I just amazes me beyond my wildest dreams. I took this oath before the Catholic priest. And all this kind of stuff, man, we knelt, Lord Jesus, we did it, man. He put the holy water on us, and we drank the holy wine, son. I mean, we was. And yet, I really think I know her. And then she just does something. Like the other day. And I made up my mind, I'm going to be a blessing this woman. I said, girl, I said, I don't care what you want. If it's possible, if it was in my power, you can have it. That's not this. And she's not a greedy person. By no means. But I mean, you know, I said, I'll do whatever that I possibly can. You know, whatever. I said, you want to go to lunch? She said, let's ask the pastor and his wife. They want to go with us. I said, okay. So I'm thinking if I'm asking the pastor and his wife, we're going to be able to go to the country club, get something to eat, or, you know, something. And so we get in the car. I said, where y'all want to go eat? Cat said, I feel like eating at Popeye's. So I said, pastor, you like Popeye's? Oh, I love Popeye's.
I said, Sister Betty, you like Popeye? Yeah, let's go to Popeye. I said, okay, let's go to Popeye. So we took off to Popeye's. And we have this special Popeye place that we have in New Orleans that we like, this special Popeye's, this particular one. So we walk in there, everybody says, what's up? Hey, how you doing? You know, nice people. Kathy comes and goes, Mama, look at there, Jesse. I said, look at what? She said, there's an 11-piece bucket on sale for $8.99. She said, we ought to get that. I said, Kathy, don't try to save me money with the chicken. Save me money at Neiman Marcus. I can buy the chicken, man. The chicken had a problem, you understand? Save me money at Saks Fifth Avenue. Save me money on Escada and Chanel and Christian Dior and St. John and all of that. You want to save me money there? Yeah, let's do that. I'll buy all the chicken you can eat. She looked at me and I could tell she didn't like it. She went. She got up to there. She says, I will have two 11-piece buckets. That's 22 pieces of chicken. Then that stupid girl behind us, she said, what would you like to have? Would I like to? Good God. I just couldn't get over that. So we sat down with two 11-piece buckets. People looking at us in, boy, them people hungry. But in Kathy's mind, we saving money. But we killing chicken by the thousands, man. Which brings me to my next point. The ability of command is in your spirit. Write that down. The ability of command is in your spirit. That's why Jesus said, command ye me concerning my word. Lord Jesus, man. The ability of command is in your spirit. Now, how is that produced? It is produced by self-denial, self-sacrifice, and self-surrender. What are you saying? I'm saying God has made us commanders, not janitors, but commanders. Not wrong being a janitor, but you're a commander of the army of God. See, now Kathy bought them two 11-piece buckets. Huh? That's like going to that crazy store, Sam's. Now, nothing against Sam, but you ain't saving no money at Sam's. Who need 5 gallons of pickles? 14 quarts of mayonnaise. You come out of sand spending more money than you did if you don't went to Winn-Dixie. Just go get what you want. I said, Kathy, what are we going to do with all these pickles? She said, it's on sale. So, listen, all my partners, we giving away pickles next month. We'll send you a pickle, bless God. If you in a pickle, we'll give you a pickle. Who the only pickle, man? Good, my Lord. But we bought them two-piece 11 buckets. Why? Because the ability of command was in her spirit. And she looked at me and said, pay for it. I said, yes, ma'am. We sat there. I just couldn't believe it, man. And the next day, she wanted to go shopping. I said, remember the chicken? Want to save me some money? No. I said, okay. The ability of command is in your spirit. It is produced by self-denial, self-sacrifice, and self-surrender. God has made us commanders. I love that. Now, what makes us commanders is what's inside of us, not what's around us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 says that. And to know the love of the Anointed One, or the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I've never been able to figure out to the depths of the love of God. I can't. It's like the grace of God. There's no bottom to it. You see, and to know the love of Christ. And God says,
don't try to figure it out, because it passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, you can quote that, you can quote it, memorize it, but I want to tell you, to understand that in its completeness, your intellect will never get to that point. But your spirit can achieve that, but your intellect cannot. Why? Because it's past knowledge, and your brain is where knowledge is. Your spirit, write this down, your spirit's where revelation is. But your brain is where knowledge is, because you're dealing in the five senses in the brain, but in your spirit, you're dealing in revelation. Your spirit's where revelation is, but your brain is where knowledge is. Are y'all enjoying this? Never defeat an enemy, or never fight an enemy that's already defeated. Now, when you understand it, that ability of command. Now, people that watch my television, when you see a person like me, you think, sometimes when we say, get out of here, devil, we know what the word of God said, forget it. You might think that's arrogance, cockiness, but no, what it is assurance. It's the ability of command in your spirit. Amen. Now, that's produced by self-denial. That's produced by self-sacrifice. That's produced by self-surrender. Because you realize you're a commander. You're not playing games here. And you know the love of God, which passes knowledge. The other day, that's Doug. He buys my television time. Ed came in, showed me in a veil in Alabama, on a station. Now, we normally always make money on this station. When I made, I'm seen by making money, you know, the partners of that area are supporting it. Well, this year, it didn't support it. It was about $20,000 less or something like that. So, you know, Doug's a good businessman, and he sends his people. He says, do you want to go into another station? You want, you know, try to do something? Because let me tell you something. It costs money, ladies and gentlemen, to do television. It costs money to do anything. And I said, no. Go ahead and approve it for another year. And I saw Ed go, why? I said, because what people fail to understand, years and years ago, 90% of my television budget, which means people that supported me, came out of Alabama, and I wasn't even on television in Alabama. And yet they paid for everything that I was doing everywhere else. So now, that the minute that I get a little down thing in that particular city, I think it was a Decatur, Huntsville area, you think I'm going to cut them off? No. The ability of commands in my spirit. And then one time I brought my office staff in the other day. I said the other day, must have been about 2 or 3 months ago. And we were having some problems. You know, sometimes you have some problems, employees, blah, blah, this and that. They're good people, but you know, the devil tries to work overtime in ministries in any way, shape, or form. So they all came in, we sat down there, and we started talking. And I prayed about it the night before. The Lord said, bring all the staff in. And I said, God, we got a problem here. Now, what should I do? Should I let this person go? Should I just cut loose of a bunch of, because we can do that. That's not this. You don't mean it to be rude. I mean, it's wonderful being loyal, but you have to be able. Got to be able to do a job. And the Lord spoke something to me, and I didn't even tell Kathy, didn't tell any of my staff at all until we had the meeting. He said, well, what are you going to do? He said, you know, you have the power to do anything. You have the power to do what I do. You can wash it all away. Never to be remembered against them anymore. You can clean the files out and start over today. I said, Lord, that's exactly what you did with me, didn't you? He said, yep. So I didn't say nothing to Kat. I didn't say nice. I want the whole staff to meet me in the, what's the name of that room there? I can't think of the chapel. And so they all come in. That's in there. Fritz is one of my employees. Yeah. Claudia, so, well, you know, we got meeting rooms all over the ministry. If you ever been down there, you know what I'm talking about. So we went in the chapel, and I said hello, and I said a few words. I said, now, I said, and we pointed out some weaknesses was in the ministry. I said, and different people are doing these weaknesses, and they're all looking at me like this, you know. I said, but you know, I have the power to do anything I want to do. I'm the head of this ministry, my name on everything here. I'm the CEO, CFO. I'm everything. I make your check good. God gives me the money to make your check good. My name's on your check and your name's on your check. But I'm going to do something. I said, I'm going to access the power that's been given to me as the CEO of Jesse Duplantis Ministries. I cancel all problems, all things that you've done wrong. It's washed away, never to be remembered against you anymore. We clean out all files. It's like as if you came to work and this is your very first day. They just went. Because we have so many times, if you've been wrote up so many times, and after a while we can't use you. We have to get some, because you know we got work to do here. We have to. And they were just shocked. I said, I'm going to do you what Jesus did me. I cancel everything against you. You're the finest employees we have. Thank you. There is nothing in your files against you at all. And I turned around to my directors and my executive directors, and I said, let it be, even as I have said. And brother, when I said that, boom, it was over. Non-existent. In other words, the people that were being late a lot, they were never late. We never knew they were late because there was no evidence to the point that they were late. It was all gone. Well, after the thing, you know, during the lunch hours, a lot of my staff came and said, man, you know, I knew I was doing wrong and I couldn't. I don't know why. I kept being, and I didn't want to, but I just doing it. But when you canceled my transgression, when you canceled my sin, when you canceled my iniquity, it made me realize really what I had. You took my punishment and destroyed it. Yeah. I mean, it set off something in the ministry that was amazing. I mean, everybody on work on time. Everybody having a new, man, Lord. One girl says, I tell you what, I was about ready to get. She said, I know y'all going to let me go. I just kept being late. I don't know why. I said, the devil was trying to destroy what you had. I said, but I proved to you today that no matter what you can do, no matter what you do, God can wash it all away. So when the Lord spoke that to me, he said, why don't you do what I do? You have that power to do what I did to you. You can wash it away. And it was wonderful to go down there and strip them files. Boom, gone. No longer, none of the things you did wrong ever existed. Gone. No evidence to the point that you ever did anything, anywhere, anyhow. Now, what made that happen? That's the ability of command in my spirit.
That's right.
But you know what I had? You know how I had to produce it? Self-surrender, self-sacrifice, self-denial. I had, because my mind kept saying, yeah, but you know what? You know what they did? You know, No, I don't know what they did. You see what I'm saying? And that's what it means, not to fight an enemy that's already defeated. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I mean, I felt I had to do my ministry. If God tells you to do some other things, that's fine. But that's what I felt the Lord wanted me to do. Now, watch this. The joy of the Lord is the spiritual strength of a dedicated believer. Now, watch. Now, write this down real quick. I don't want to take Jerry's time. All right. Here's Satan tempting the devil. Now, here's some revelation. You can make a book out of this if you want to write on it. I've had people say, you ought to write this in a book, man. The Lord hadn't told me to. Maybe you can. He said, you're hungry? Turn that stone into bread. Jesus said no. Point one, why did Jesus say no? Point one, never use the word of God for personal advantage. Write that down. You don't have to. The word of God will work for you. You don't have to work it. It will work for you. Never use the word of God for personal advantage, even though you might be hungry. All you do is accept what's already yours and walk on. You see, because you see, if you try to get it done, then you're going to try to do it in a wrong way. So when he told Jesus, even though Jesus had the right to eat, Jesus had been 40 days fasting, he's hungry. He said, turn that stone into bread. But he knew the motive of Satan. He knew what Satan was trying to get him to do, to become like him. So number one, he said, turn the stone into bread. No, never use the word of God for personal advantage. When he realized he couldn't break him on that point, he went to temptation number two. He said, you're looking for a kingdom? Yeah, I got a kingdom. Why don't you just fall down and worship me? Number two, never associate yourself with wicked people, even for the attainment of a good end or for the attainment of your destiny. Write that down. I can make a book on that. See, I refuse to associate myself with wicked people, even though it may get me what I want. It may get me to where I'm trying to go. And this is what the devil's doing. You got to understand the motive. There's always a reason why people do what they do. So never associate yourself with wicked people, even for the attainment of your end. Jesus said, no, it is written. You should worship the Lord thy God. He said, that ain't working. Temptation number three. He says, listen, your word says that if you jump off, that the angels won't let you bust your foot. So why don't you just show us that? Point three, never, and this is really bad with Christian preachers, never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. Even though if Jesus would have jumped off the temple, the angels wouldn't let him hit the ground. But that would have been like this. Okay, devil, I'll show you what I can do. You don't need to show the devil what you can do. He's under your feet. He should just be reading the soles of your shoes. You understand? Never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. Because he tried that same thing on the cross. Through people, if you truly be the Son of God, why don't you pull yourself off? Save us and save yourself. Even though you have the power to do something, doesn't mean you should use that power, especially if the motive is pride. Isn't this good? Never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. Now, I have kept to those three things in my life. I haven't been perfect in many things, but I've been perfect in that. I don't use the Word of God for personal advantage. Because the Word of God, I don't have to. It will bring me personal advantage.
That's right.
Number two, I don't associate myself with wicked people, even for the attainment of good end. And I've been offering millions of dollars to do some things that most preachers would have done in a second. I'm not bragging on myself because, you know, but Brother Jesse, you know, because here's how it comes. If you get involved in this, this will help the ministry. Yeah, but what's your life about? Brother Copeland said something years ago that really ministered to me about borrowing money. He said, you are making a covenant with people you don't even know. You're making a covenant with a bank you don't even, and nothing wrong borrowing money, but at least you all at least know who you're borrowing from and find out what they stand for. It's like a candidate, instead of just saying, bless God, I'm a Democrat, I'm voting Democrat. I'm a Republic, I'm voting Republic. I'm a liberal, I'm a libertine, I'm voting libertine, whatever they call it. Lord, I don't know. I'm a communist, I'm voting communist. But you know, no, find out what these people believe. And then find out why they believe it. See, it's not enough to just find out why what they believe. You have to find out why they believe. Then you can understand the process. Then you'll understand why you, a Christian, may vote for somebody you never thought they should ever vote for. But they may be looking at something totally different than you. But that color bearer or that different world, see, the issues are different. But the people are the same. See, so I refuse to associate. I had a man said, buddy, I won't put this kind of money in this. We can do this. Jesse, you have panache. You grab people, boy. Well, I knew that from the beginning before I was saved. I could do that. That ain't nothing. I don't mean that arrogantly. I was a rocker. You know, I knew how to, I was a Las Vegas style entertainer. I knew how to do that. But you see, I got out of that business.
That's right.
Now I still have that flair. I know I do. Which freaks out Christians. God needed me to help people.
That's right.
Because they were boring. They were boring and of no use to anybody and killing their own selves. Couldn't laugh. If you laugh, oh, suffer. Just beat you on the head. No. If they tried to make you so plain that plain was too pretty. And it became nothing but works. Criticism. So God saved me. And this smile has been born out of persecution. You're looking at one preacher been beat on bad. And there's been times years ago when I said, Lord, let them all go to hell. Let me go to hell too, because I'm going to kill them all in hell myself. I mean, since I'm in hell, I might as well just be hell. And the Lord said, I don't think you would enjoy that. I said, I'll repent. Just let me do it for 5 minutes. One of the hardest things to do in my life, I know how to fix something and can't fix it. Got to let the Lord do it. Got to wait for somebody to repent. You know he's going to save somebody you don't like. And you're just hoping, oh, come on, God. Let the rapture take place so grandma don't go to heaven. Come on now. Because you know it. You see her getting close to getting saved. Oh, no, Jesus. You see the Holy Spirit pulling on your mother-in-law. No, Lord, she's not a mother-in-law. She's an outlaw. No, you don't want her to come. You don't want her to come. And it's getting closer and closer. Oh, God. Not easy, but you got to pass the test.
That's right. That's right.
That's a test to see what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. To just see what you're going to do. How many of you ever gave somebody a 20 and they gave you back change for 50? What did you do? Get out of here, mama. Let's go. Start the car. The Lord met our need.
No, he did not meet your need. He didn't meet your need.
It's the same thing with your own selfishness. When you're trying to get away from, you decide all of a sudden that church that you're at, that you don't like it too much. Then you use God as your excuse. Pastor, we feel led of the Lord. You could hear God on the throne. I ain't leading them at all, that lying dog. I ain't leading them. We feel led of the Lord to go somewhere else. That's not true. You know, preachers do have feelings. How many times you've told a preacher, I'm with you till Jesus comes? Well, did he come? Because I ain't seen you in a while. He must have come and gone and come back 3 or 4 times. I ain't seen you. You're going to hold an accounting for that when you stand before God. And God's going to say, why'd you lie about me? Why'd you say I said? Because see, when you stand before God, your mama ain't gonna be going there and say, he a good boy, he really a good boy, he a good boy. No, it's gonna be you, God, and the videotape. Oh, Jesus. Punch the videotape. Did I do that, Lord? Number one, never use the word of God for personal advantage. Number two, never associate yourself with wicked people for the attainment, even if for good, for your end. Or number three, never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. And demons will try to do that all the time to you. They'll say, they start playing around with the devil. The devil start playing around with Christians and preachers. They don't realize it's happening. He's sucking you in. After a while, you begin to say, get the camera over here. What's your name, devil? Who cares? Do you have a ledger on the names of devils? What street you live on in hell? Who cares? Isn't our object is to get the devil out instead of just find out where he's been educated? So what I do is I don't fight an enemy that's already defeated. And it produces this. Now, when you do that, that makes people mad at you. He ought not be that happy. Hit him with a stick. What I've tried to do in my life is try to figure out why you do what you do, and you ought to at least try to figure out why I do what I do. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because, you see, the answer is not say he's doing that, but why is he doing it? Why do we speak in tongues? Before you cut it off, say, it's not for today. How did we get it? Well, it's of the devil. How did he get it? Did he go to heaven and say, can I use them tongue for a while? Because if tongues was of the devil, I would have found it. Because I did everything else he did. When I used to drink and smoke dope, Lord, I took trips and never left my house, brother. Not only did I inhale, I snorted, I shot it, I dropped it. I ain't gonna lie about it. I was a terrible sinner. But I was having fun. Kathy said, you're going to hell. I said, I like hell. Mama said, that boy don't know what he's talking about. No, I didn't know what I was talking about because I was blind. But I certainly, every Christian I saw, I certainly didn't want to be like them. My mama said, now, Jesse, you don't mess around with them girls in that church. You understand? I said, Mama, I promise you, I will never be with any of them sweat hogs. I ain't going to be in there. My mama, why, you don't think they're pretty? I said, Mama, have you seen them? I said, they don't wear makeup. I said, there can't be no lust. How can lust ever be birthed in that place to start with? I said, now they go over to the Philistines where Delilah is. That's at the house of a different color. My grandmother used to want me to date the girls in the church. She was 4'9". I loved her. She's sweet. She said, I love you, grandson. Not looking down at her. Can you imagine me looking down at someone? She said, why don't you marry? You need to marry one of the girls in the church. I said, Grandma, I'm going amongst the Philistines.
He said, they're going to cut your hair off and make you blind.
She's thinking, Samson.
They're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. I said, That's okay.
And I brought home a girl one time. My mama was so rude. I can say that because she's dead now. But I'll tell you what. My mama was rude to people, man. Rude to girls I brought her. Because I kind of like a little greasy girl, you know. When I just say, hey, what's up, mama? How you doing? Come on, you know. I mean, I was a rock entertainer. You know, I mean, I dated cocktail waitresses. You name it, we did it. So I brought this girl in. I thought she looked pretty fine, you know. I said, listen, I'm going to stop my house, get a couple of bucks. And she said, well, I'll go in. I said, no, you don't want to go in. You don't want to go in. She said, well, why not? You don't want nobody to see me? I said, yeah, I don't mind. I said, you don't know my mama. She said, what's wrong with your mama? I said, she saved. She said, from what? I said, I don't know. I don't know what she saved from. But she's into the saved stuff. This girl ain't never heard nothing. This girl walk in, you know, she's a little greasy, real tight skirt. You know, tight, man, I mean. You know, I walk in. I say, hey, mama, I said, this is, and I named the girl, protect her innocence. She didn't have any innocence, but I was protecting her. I didn't have any neither. I said, mama, this is so-and-so. She said, she looked like a Jezebel to me. You left Jezebel? Now, this girl didn't know nothing about God. She said, who's Jezebel? I said, that's a very nice person we know that lived down the street. She lived down the street. Really like her a lot. I said, come on, let's get out of here, girl. Girl never knew mama called her Jezebel. I said, what's the matter with you? She said, no, what's the matter with you? She's so greasy, she fall down, she slide to the North Pole. Then I met Kathy at a swimming pool. That's when I had a six-pack. Now I got a keg, but I had a six-pack in those days. And Kathy went, woo, look at this boy. I said, what's up, mama? How you doing? And I took Kathy to the house one time. She said, you want me to go in? I said, let me tell you something about my mom. She said, Kathy said, from what? I said, I don't know. Well, we got to lose. She don't know nothing about God. And mama liable to call her Ahab. Who knows? I don't know. But Kathy looked real. Mama looks at her. I said, Mom. I said, this is Kathy. She says, Kathy. She said, Jesse, that's going to be your wife. I said, control yourself, Mama. We ain't talking about marrying nobody. I just want to get to know the girl. To tell you the truth, I think I like her sister better. I dated her sister. I was a heathen. I'd have dated a mama, but I was crazy them days. I was nuts, you understand? I was just a sinful man. I ain't gonna lie about it. I was full of sin. I dated, my God, from 55 to 11. But you got to get out of town, you know what I'm saying? I was 19 years old, went out with a 55-year-old woman. They said, who's that? I said, that's the one I caught. I didn't care. It didn't make no difference. I was crazy in them days. She said, that's going to be your wife. I said, Mom, what's the matter with you? She said, the Lord done spoke it to me. I don't want to talk to you, fool. You're nothing but a fool. The Lord done spoke it to me. Don't fight this thing, Jesse. I said, whoa, Mama. That ain't going to happen. She said, I'm telling you, the Lord spoke it to me. That's a good girl. I said, Mama, she don't know nothing about God. She said, she will. I said, don't you infect her, Mama. Stay away from her. Sure enough, man. Kathy come over there. Mama started talking to her about God. And Kathy was interested. I said, you don't want to talk about that. You don't want to talk about that. Come on. Whoa, what is all this? I said, You're Catholic. Yeah, I'm Catholic. But what? I never heard that before. She had never read the Bible. Mama said, I'll buy you a Bible. No, you don't want to give her a Bible, Mama. Give her a Bible. I said, if she give you one, look at the pictures. That's what I do with Playboy. I just look at the pictures. Kathy started reading the Bible and got born again. Got saved in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm doing a show for the Minnesota Vikings, the Purple Gang, 1970. What, 1-2, whatever it was. And she says, is that little heathen with you? I said, Kathy said, yeah. She's talking to my mom. She said, put the heathen on the phone. I said, what? We're going to get you. Yeah, we're going to get you. We're going to get you. Lord, Jesus. And then, of course,
I did come to the knowledge of Jesus. And before my mother went home to be with the Lord, she saw me preach the gospel. She saw Kathy praising God, speaking in tongues. And she even saw Jody like this. And she's a little girl just praising the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Woo, Lord. Mm, mm, mm. Did you enjoy it today?